tarnished and muddy a coin here, and a bright new one. What's this one worth? A pound. What's this one worth? A pound. Yeah. They're both worth exactly the same. They're both worth exactly £1. Because the value doesn't depend on their appearance, or how clean, or how shiny, or how new. The value depends on the fact that they're stamped with the image of the king or queen. And I believe that Jesus had that in mind when he told stories about coins, which he did on a number of occasions. People are like coins because their value doesn't depend on their appearance, but on the image that they bear. And the Bible tells us that we are made in the image of God, the image of God himself. So Jesus taught that the value of a person doesn't depend on their age, whether they're young or old, or their intelligence, whether they're bright or dull, their physical appearance, whether they're beautiful or ugly, the amount in their bank account, the house they live in, or the car they drive, or the school they go to. We're all valuable to God because we're made in his image, and we belong to him. And we're so valuable that he sent his son to rescue us, to die for our sin, and to restore us. That's the value that each of us has.
I think actually this story that Jesus told about the lost coin sometimes gets a little bit lost itself because it comes between two better known stories. Just before it is a story about a lost sheep, and just after it is a story about a lost son. And I think they're probably sort of better known stories, and this one sometimes I think gets a little bit forgotten. And I think that's a bit of a shame because it's a story that I think most of us can relate to pretty well when we're thinking earlier about losing things. I mean, I've never lost a sheep. I know some of you have lost a cat. But yes, losing something precious, I think I can pretty much relate to that. And it's a very simple story, isn't it? Here's this woman. We can picture it. She's got 10 silver coins, literally 10 drachma. Each one was a drachma anyway. And that means that each coin was worth about a day's pay. What would that be today? Well, I looked it up, so I kind of know. About £135. Yeah, worth looking for, isn't it? And I guess for that woman, it would represent what she needed to live and to buy food and the things that she needed. So she makes a huge effort to find her lost coin. And she lights a lamp because if we can picture the houses in those days, if they had windows, they'd be very small. So the house was quite dark. And she gets a broom and she sweeps the floor, maybe a mud floor, maybe it was stone slabs. Easy for a coin to get lost there. And she does find the coin in the end, and she's thrilled to bits that she's found her coin, and she's so pleased, she calls in all her lady friends and neighbours and says, "Rejoice, I'm going to have a big party because I found my lost coin." I think we can sort of picture that story. It's quite visual, isn't it? So what's the story really all about? Why did Jesus tell that story? Do you think it's really about coins? I think Tony's kind of given us a clue, hasn't he, earlier? And Jesus tells us, actually in verse 10, of Luke 15, that the story is really about people. So the lost coin represents people who are sort of lost and gone the wrong way. And what about the woman who's searching for the coin? Well, I'm not sure, but who do we belong to? We belong to God, don't we? So I think when Jesus is telling this story, he's saying, that woman looking for the coin, well, this is what God is like. This is what God is like. Because, like the coin, people like you and me can be lost. I mean, literally, I can get lost very easily. Some of you are smiling because you know that. I can get lost in the park. I can get lost when I'm driving, even with Google Maps. I even dream about getting lost. It's quite a theme for me, really. But I think Jesus here is talking about a different sort of being lost. The sort of lostness when people sort of wander away, go away from God. And maybe like that lost sheep in the other story, just wander away a bit not knowing, and maybe like the lost son in that other story, we absolutely know where we're going. We've chosen to walk away from God. But however it happens, just like lots of the people that Jesus spent a lot of time with, we can be lost. Perhaps we just keep making the wrong decisions in life. Perhaps we choose to go down the different paths rather than God's path. But however we do it, we can be lost. And the Bible says that actually all of us are naturally a bit like that. That's just the way we go. And sometimes, and some of you know this, I think, that we can be lost in some pretty dark places. Some of us can be lost in the dirt and get a bit covered in muck. But actually, you can get lost anywhere. You could even be lost in this church. But when you're away, when we fall away from home and we're away from God, whether we know it or we don't, we can be lost. But you know, like that coin, not only can be lost, but we have value. We are valuable. Sometimes I think it feels like we don't matter very much in life. Perhaps we're quite little, or no one seems to notice us, or in our big company, or in our big school, or even just amongst a big family. We can feel that we don't really matter. Some of you perhaps watched that dramatization of that terrible story about what happened in the post office and the sub-postmasters who seem to matter so little to their employers. And sometimes we feel a bit like that ourselves. But think again about this little story we've read this morning that Jesus told. Because that story shows us that each person is valued by God. You and me and every person is valued by God. And just like that woman missed her lost coin, so God misses people who are lost. Because you are immensely valuable to God. You know, people around Jesus were surprised. Some of the people were really surprised that he spent so much of his time hanging out with the sort of characters that lots of other people didn't even notice. And if they did notice them, they didn't want to spend time with them. A lot of them were ordinary people who didn't have particularly great talents or money or things to boast about. And lots of them had taken the wrong sort of turnings in life and made bad decisions. And in this passage, they're called tax collectors and sinners. But Jesus did hang out with people like that. He ate with them and he talked with them and he welcomed them. And some people didn't like that. But Jesus knew that each person is precious to God. And if they were lost, he wanted to find them. Maybe you feel a bit lost, even sitting here in church today. But know this, you are valuable. But how do we know? How do we know the woman in the story valued her coin? Well, because she made such a big effort, didn't she, to search for it. She went to huge lengths to search for it. She swept the floor and lit the lamp and threw a big party when she'd found it. Just as the woman searched for the coin, God has done everything to search for you. You don't spend a lot, or I don't spend a lot of time searching for things that don't matter. I do lose a lot of stuff, as well as getting lost. And I don't spend a lot of money on umbrellas and gloves and things because I know I'm going to lose them. So if I do lose them, it doesn't matter too much because they don't cost me very much. But if it's something valuable, then you'll search for it, won't you? And we saw how the woman searched for the coin. She made a huge effort. She spent money and time and effort because her coin was precious. So how has God searched for you? How has God searched for me? What has he done to search for us? Well, he has called people all through time and history. He's given us his word in the scriptures, in the Bible. And he's come as Jesus into this world. And Jesus spent his whole life showing people how much God loves us. Jesus, who lived for the lost and who died for the lost. He went to the shame and agony of the cross, because that's how precious you are to God. Now, the people around Jesus who thought they were sort of okay, the super religious people, the people who said, yes, we obey all of God's laws, They were surprised and puzzled and shocked that Jesus hung out with these sort of deadbeats and the characters who were lost. But they shouldn't have been surprised, actually, because Jesus said straight away when he started teaching people, he said, I've come to free the prisoners and heal the sick, and I've come to find the lost. That's what I've come to do. Because God doesn't give up on lost people, and he doesn't look down on them, and he doesn't forget them. He's not like a sort of disapproving head teacher or even an angry parent, but God is like that woman in Jesus' story. That's what he is like. And he has gone to the most incredible lengths to save us. He's come into this world as a human being, as Jesus, to show us in his life and in his death the way back to God. There is a way back to God. And he says what is needed on our part, he says there's joy in heaven over each sinner who repents. What does that mean? Well, it just means to stop and turn around and go back in a different direction. Stop walking away from God and turn around and choose to follow Jesus and his way. Just like that lost son did in the next story. Deciding to go home. That's what he chose to do. And the reaction of the father in that story, and what the reaction Jesus says God has when we come home, huge party, celebration, because God is very happy. Well, I wonder what the teachers of the law and the Pharisees and the super religious people felt when they heard Jesus tell that story. What do you think they felt? They were pretty sure God was pleased with them, and lots of them thought that if you were a good person, you should keep away from lost people. I wonder if they realized that God was calling them too to be part of his mission to go and find and love the lost. And what about the other people who heard Jesus tell that story, the tax collectors and the sinners, the people who perhaps knew they were lost? I wonder how they felt when they heard Jesus tell the story, when they realized how much they mattered to God, when they knew how much he wanted them to come home. When they realised that Jesus had come to look for and to find lost people like them. What's it like to be found? I think a lot of people here know what it's like to be found. It's like coming home, isn't it? It's like accepting that offer of love and forgiveness and acceptance. And it looks like the possibility of God's grace redeeming and transforming the whole of our lives. Looks like a healed relationship with God in this life. And it looks like a homecoming and a wonderful celebration that will last forever. Lastly, one more story. True story. Because I was thinking, could you ever be too lost for Jesus? Could you be too lost to be found? Well, here's a story you may have heard before. It's about a man. I don't suppose you're going to recognise him from that picture. Is anyone going to recognise him? Or perhaps there'll be some clues in what I've said so far. It is John Newton. Well done. He was a man who grew up not too far from here, but you can probably tell from his clothes it was a long time ago. He lived nearly 300 years ago. And like his father, he decided he would become a sailor. And he spent his life as a sailor, and he was captain of a ship, and some of you know his story. The ships he sailed in carried goods, yes, but they didn't just carry stuff, they also carried people. They carried men and women and children taken from their homes in countries in Africa and enslaved and put into chains and carried across the Atlantic Ocean in some awful conditions to work in the West Indies for people who paid money for them. John Newton was a slave trader. He was the kind of guy that when people see now, don't they, statues of people who they find out were involved in slavery, they daub things on them and throw their statues in the river and say, what an awful person. And actually, John Newton said later in his life, he wrote about what a terrible, selfish, violent man he said he had become. He recognized that's who he was. And surely, he said himself, he was as lost and as far from God as anyone could be. But that wasn't the end of his story. Something happened to John Newton in the storms of his life, and in a literal storm, sitting in his cabin on the ship, He started to read his Bible and he began to find out that Jesus had come to find lost people just like him. And he learned how much he was loved by God. He learned that Jesus had died on the cross so that lost people, even like him, could be forgiven. And John Newton began to change. He repented. And I'm sure there was rejoicing in heaven. He began to go in a different direction, not all straight away. It took time. But he decided, no, I can't be involved in trading people like goods. I mustn't do that anymore. It's wrong. In fact, all he wanted to do was to tell people about Jesus and what Jesus had done and how much God loved them. And actually, he said, I think to trade people as slaves is so wrong. I'm going to join in campaigns to stop it. And he did that too. And something else he did was to write a hymn, a very well-known hymn, I'm sure lots of you know, about what God had done to find him and to save him. It was about the amazing love of God, and it's called Amazing Grace. And a bit later, we're going to sing a sort of modern version of that hymn, Amazing Grace, because Amazing Grace is really what our belonging service is all about, isn't it? We're not just members of a club here at church. And we don't just come because we love Andrew's coffee or spending lots of time together, although we do. We come here because each one of us has been lost, or perhaps we're still trying to find our way. And we come here to thank God today that like the woman in Jesus' story, he's come to find us. God has come to find us. And we remember that we too are part of his mission to seek and to find lost people. That's what we're about.